chance of cooler weather, some awesome storms, maybe thunderstorms, some freezing rain, snow. Come along with me and catch up on some shows over at Real Liberty Media. You can listen to Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony. He's going to arm you for some counter-propaganda tactics. Listen to the Dork Table, all kinds of interesting conversations going on there. You can also catch It's All Connected. Grimner and Circle will kind of connect all the dots for you, no matter what the subject. They're going to connect it up for you. And Free Your Mind is a great show. Talks about liberty and freedom. Those two, Grimner and Moose Girl, have a great show. Some great archives there. Listen to them and kind of become familiar with being totally free. Ponder Gander has some great topics. He's a deep thinker with a lot of good subject matter. You can catch me, the Redneck Dentist. And we also have two musical shows you can listen to. The Sunday Blues, which are archived, and the Top 10 Countdown, which has top 10 songs from years past with a little bit of history or behind-the-scenes story on each one. So join me, the Redneck Dentist, over on Real Liberty Media, catching up on some of these archived podcasts. It's a great time of year to do it. All right, thanks. This is Dr. Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Hopefully everything is going good. Nope, we're overdriving the mic again. I thought I had everything set. Had a kind of a rough start to this show. That's okay. I was just listening to Hal, and maybe I wasn't totally prepared to jump in like we planned, but we did. And thanks, Hal, for that great show. Man, there's always some good tips in there. I gotta adjust my mic again. Everybody, just be patient a minute. And let's try that. Make sure we don't get any red peaks, you know. I hate those red peaks. They sound horrible on the recording. I don't know how they sound live. But anyway, one thing Hal said that I was really surprised, and I actually kind of reminded me of Monsanto when he was talking about having a copyrighted thing in your blood or patented thing in your blood. And it kind of reminded me of Monsanto, except on Monsanto's if you get Monsanto DNA in your corn or soybean or whatever, you know, you didn't really ask for it, they just forced it on you. In this case, you know, for those of us who did take the jab, we actually voluntarily, you know, allowed whatever to go in our body. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I have some stuff today I think is going to... Hopefully, I bring some new information on every show. I really thought today was going to be, you know, some new information. That's what I hope to bring out. And I think we're going to start out with an interesting story I'll get to in just a couple minutes. But I thought I would cover a few things. One is why I'm doing this show today, is because we do Thanksgiving not on Thanksgiving at our house. We either do it on Friday or on Saturday, and this year we did it on Saturday. So we were kind of busy all day yesterday with family and stuff. And, you know, I guess one thing I am definitely thankful for is family and friends. And always enjoy having that time together. I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving too. Grimner's having a rough time. Kind of wonder about this microphone business. I'm not going to worry about it. Screw that red peak stuff. If I see it, I'll catch it. But if not, we're just going to roll with it. Grimner's having a rough time. I wish him the best. Whatever, you know, he decides to do in his life, with his life. I haven't known him that long. I know he's an awesome guy. I thank him for this opportunity to be here on Real Liberty Media for sure. And, you know, whatever Grimner decides, that's what's going to happen. So I just can wish him the best with whatever that is. Let's see what else. So we did the Thanksgiving thing. We did Grimner and Hal. What a great show. Appreciate it. you know, Hal always has some really good information. It's like, how in the heck do we all put that information into play? Like, there's so much information there. And who knows? Maybe we will and maybe we won't. One, you know, it's kind of good to see more and more companies putting up some resistance, more individual people putting up resistance to the whole mandate thing, and more countries, for that matter, who are just saying no. And honestly, I can't truly understand why more countries haven't gotten on board with resisting the whole mandate thing. And some countries are really going overboard, not only some countries, but even some cities and some, municipalities really go overboard. It's kind of funny where I live, kind of out in the country in Oregon here. There's two little towns kind of close together, Sheridan and Willamina. We're about 8 miles apart, I think. Oh, it could be five. It could be, it's not more than eight. But anyway, you know, in both towns, there's a little store, kind of a grocer, you know, local grocery store. And I had to go to both of them on, Friday, I think. And I went to Willamina to get diesel because we don't have diesel here in Sheridan. Had to fill my truck. Anyway, I go to Willamina and I, you know, take a mask just in case. I just, you know, do my thing. I don't want to piss anybody off or have people get in my face or whatever. So I check the door before I go in, and sure enough, there's a sign, you know, wear a mask. Okay, so I put a mask on, go in, do my shopping. And then, but they didn't have everything I needed. So, but of course that town had diesel. That's why I had to go there. So I come back to Sheridan. I start to go in our little grocery store. There is nothing on the door and everybody inside is not wearing a mask. And it's just like, kind of feels normal. But, it's crazy reactions to the mandates and depending on where you live. But God, some places just have so much, like, the authoritarians, you know, running these places is so crazy. Oh, and by the way, that made me think of something really funny this week. Because, you know, I don't care who gets elected to the presidency or Senate representative. It doesn't really matter, right? A lot of us here know that. But what I was thinking of, like, everybody is always claiming that whoever's in office is a Nazi or, you know, a tyrant or whatever. And they are. they truly are. But I started thinking about the real Nazis, Hitler and Germany at the time. And I was thinking to myself, like, where we are right now, the people who are in power, so to speak, I was trying to imagine them being the ones who are going to rule the world. You got to admit, it's kind of funny. Like I think, like, Hitler had some, and I am not, this is going to sound horrible. Okay, I'm not saying what Hitler did was good by any means, okay? I think we all know that. But the dude had some enthusiasm, at least, right? So, oh my goodness. So at least he was enthusiastic about what he was doing, and at least he had a plan, and he's kind of got everybody involved and motivated. These people are just like the slowest, weakest, bumbling idiots, but somehow they're right now like, they have so much power, but it's kind of funny to think that they're going to be the ones, like, let's say, for example, that you always hear this, that there's not going to be another election, that elections are over with, that, you know, the current party is just not going to leave office, blah, blah, blah. But just imagine if that really happened right now. I don't know. For some reason, I think it's pretty damn funny, but maybe it's not. And sorry if you're offended by my Hitler reference. It just, struck me as weird, like, you know, that was a whole different thing there. And anyway, here we are. Drink time, drink it up. Okay, I want to talk about something interesting, and I'm pretty much going to read this because I think it's important. Should I read it with or without my glasses? Let's see. I think I can do it without. Okay, now I'm going to get to a point here. It's going to take me a little bit. But I don't think it was coincidence that I ran across this story today. And I ran across it by, you know, I guess clickbait, you could call it. I was looking at some stuff and it led me to something else and it led me to something else. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. So let me share with you a little bit from history.com, I think is where this came from. So take it for what it's worth. It could be accurate. It may not be. I don't know. But it's an interesting story. And apparently there's some documentation to go with it. Here we go. The father of modern gynecology, and I said, seems familiar. Few medical doctors have been as lauded and loathed as James Marion Sims. Credited as the father of modern gynecology, Sims developed pioneering tools and surgical techniques related to women's reproductive health. In 1876, he was named president of the American Medical Association, and in 1880, he became president of the American Gynecology Society, an organization he helped found. The 19th century physician has been lionized with half dozen statues around the country. But because Sims' research was conducted on enslaved black women without anesthesia, medical ethicists, historians, and others say his use of enslaved black bodies as medical test subject falls into a long ethical bereft history that includes the Tuskegee syphilis experiment and Henrietta Lacks. Critics say Sims cared more about the experiments than in providing therapeutic treatment, and that he caused untold suffering by operating under the racist notion that black people did not feel pain. Sims, who practiced medicine at a time when treating women was considered distasteful and rarely done, invented the vaginal speculum, so you ladies out there can thank him, a tool used for dilation and examination. He also pioneered a surgical technique to repair a vesico-vaginal fistula, a common 19th century complication of childbirth in which a tear between the uterus and the bladder caused constant pain and urine leakage. His defenders say the southern-born slaveholder was simply a man of his time for whom the end justified the means, and that enslaved women with fistulas were likely to have wanted the treatment badly enough that they would have agreed to take part in his experiments. But history hasn't recorded their voices, and consent from their owners, who had strong financial interests in recovery, was the only legal requirement of the time. It was in Montgomery that Sims built his reputation among the rich white plantation owners by treating their enslaved workers. According to Vanessa Gamble, University Professor of Medical Humanities at George Washington University, Sims' practice was deeply rooted in the trade for enslaved people. Sims built an 8-person hospital in the heart of the trading district in Montgomery. While most health care took place on the plantation, some stubborn cases were brought to the physicians like Sims, who patched up enslaved workers so they could produce and reproduce for their masters, again. Otherwise, they were useless to their owners. He later reflected in the autobiography, The Story of My Life, on the advantages he found to working on people that were essentially his property. There was never a time that I could not, at any day, have had a subject for operation. According to Sims, this was the most memorable time of his life. Sims wrote that women had clamored for the operations to relieve their discomfort, but whether they consented or not was never captured in any other historical record. As Bettina Judd, assistant professor of gender, women, and sexuality studies at the University of Washington points out, consent isn't always about whether you can say yes, it's also whether you can say no. To note, today we know three of the names of female fistula patients from Sims' own records, Lucy, Anarka, and Betsy. The first one he operated on was 18-year-old Lucy, who had given birth a few months prior and hadn't been able to control her bladder since. During the procedure, patients were completely naked and asked to perch on their knees and bend forward onto their elbows so their heads rested on their hands. Lucy endured an hour-long surgery, screaming and crying out in pain, as nearly a dozen other doctors watched. As Sims later wrote, Lucy's agony was extreme. She became extremely ill due to his controversial use of a sponge to drain the urine away from the bladder, which led to her contracting blood poisoning. I thought she was going to die. It took Lucy 2 or 3 months to recover entirely from the effects of the operation, he wrote. For a long time, Sims' fistula surgeries were not successful. How about that? After 30 operations on one woman, a 17-year-old enslaved woman named Anarka, who had a very traumatic labor and delivery, he finally perfected his method after 4 years of experimentation. Afterward, he began to practice on white women using anesthesia, which was new to the medical field at the time. While some doctors didn't trust anesthesia, Sims' decision to not use it or any other numbing technique was based on his misguided belief that black people didn't experience pain like white people did. That's crazy. It was only 100 and something years ago. It's a notion that persists today, according to a study conducted by the University of Virginia and published on April 4, 2016, Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So he went on, he did experimenting on enslaved children. Writer and medical ethicist Harriet Washington says Sims' racist beliefs affected more than his gynecological experiments. Before and after his gynecological experiments, he also tested surgical treatments on enslaved black children in an effort to treat trismus necessium, neonatal tetanus, with little to no success. Oh God, I can't even imagine what those experiments were like. Sims also believed that African Americans were less intelligent than white people and thought it was because their skulls grew too quickly around their brain. He would operate on African American children using a shoemaker's tool to pry their bones apart and loosen their skulls. Oh my God. I should have read more of this before I shared it. I'm kidding, I read it. In 1850, Sims moved to New York and opened the first ever women's hospital, where he continued testing controversial medical treatments on his patients. When any of Sims' patients died, the blame, according to him, lay squarely with the sloth and ignorance of their mothers and the black midwives who attended them. He did not believe anything was wrong with his methods. Sims' practices ignited controversy during his lifetime, says Washington. The medical community debated his methods, and some of his white colleagues even openly objected to his experiment, saying he took things too far. So, terrible, yes. Sounds and seems like it's kind of archaic, I would say, but it isn't, right? So, in my travels, I guess I was just kind of thinking of writing something. Something struck me this week, and I was like, I'm just gonna write this little commentary. And this is I kind of came up with a bulleted list, which I had to add to immediately after kind of finishing the list. And that was, that's this. I said, Anthony Fauci kills. Now, you know, that could be debated, whether he actually, you know, hands-on kills people or just remotely kills people or is just the money man behind killing people. But I said Anthony Fauci kills. He's killed lab rats in the interest of science. He's killed beagles in the interest of science. He's killed rhesus monkeys in the interest of science. He's killed adults with HIV in the interest of science. He's killed children with HIV or in HIV experiments in the interest of science. He is still killing people today with his demand that everybody take his remedy. He doesn't have a very good track record of successful treatments. Because you remember, like last week, I was talking about the AZT drug that he, you know, that apparently he had some hand in developing. And, you know, pretty much everything that it touched, it killed. Every specimen he used it on died. But in order to make it look successful, he just gave his patients massive blood transfusions to keep them alive long enough to say that the drug was effective. Now, this is a guy who, you know, the entire world hinges its COVID mandate decisions on. And I'm thinking to myself, so why isn't he on trial already? You know, for murder, or at least manslaughter. And then I was thinking about all of the people that he really maybe has to protect him. The CIA and the FBI wanted some bioweapons warfare experiments done or developments made. And they didn't have the facilities or the know-how to do it. And they knew that Anthony Fauci and the whole NIH department, all of the NIH departments that he can get money to and guides those experiments, they're like, oh, well, he can do it and he already has the facilities. We'll just use him. So, hey, I glanced over at the chat and it made me think of something. So hopefully I'll remember where I was and come back to it. But this is what I was thinking about the media. How come the media isn't absolutely insane about this? How come, groups that I really have strong feelings for one way or another, how come civil liberties groups aren't all over this guy? I mean, this information that I have, it's not secret. It's not hard to find. Okay, maybe it's not easy to find. But it's not hard to find if you go look for it. Why are so many groups ignoring this? You know, where is Black Lives Matter when it comes to something like this? You know, they want to... I shouldn't get into the... I shouldn't get riled up, but what I'm saying is, where are the people who raise hell about history and want statues taken down because of what they represent, and they want to rewrite history so it reflects not what really happened, but something else, or hides the fact that the things that happened really happened? Why aren't they all over Anthony Fauci for using minority children in his experiments in his early career? I mean, nobody is forgiven for what they've done in the past, not in this society, not today. Why aren't they all over this? And then what's going to happen if they do get all over this? So I was thinking, so who in the hell is going to take down Anthony Fauci? I mean, he's got the CIA and the FBI kind of in his pocket because he takes money from them. Yeah, he lied under oath. He continues to lie under oath. So if our kind of top security agencies are in Fauci's pocket because he takes money for them and he does experiments and development for them, Who is going to take him down? And when I was thinking about it, I go, what about all these other countries? Are they, why aren't they doing something about somebody who isn't even part of their country, part of their government? Like, why are they not doing something? I did read an article somebody posted about someone in India suing for a vax death. That was a little hard to follow just because there's a little language difference there, the way things are written in courts there versus here. But you just think about this. So Fauci has like China in his back pocket too, because everything that he's been doing has been going through this Wuhan lab. You know, he funnels tons of money there, and for what reason? Like, for what reason does he conduct these experiments outside of this country? Oh, yeah, back to where I was. I mentioned that Anthony Fauci killed rhesus monkeys, and that's something that I came up with today. Should have gone in my show last week about, you know, Anthony Fauci's skeletons keep piling up, literally. So apparently there's actually money that can be traced to these rhesus monkeys that they also do horrible experiments on. And the person who blew the whistle on this and others actually kind of support the idea that these experiments are virtually useless because they don't translate to human, you know, to humans. So basically, whatever you do to a rhesus monkey, and I know everybody likes to compare, you know, humans to other primates and say that we're really not that different, but we are really that different. So a lot of the stuff you do to a monkey really has nothing to do with humans and how that same treatment is going to affect humans. So why, how does, this takes me back to way back when I was talking about Fauci, kind of in the early days of this show, and I said, look, he's a government employee, and he's probably not the best one in the field before he ever became a government employee, because the best people in their field don't go to work for the federal government. And yet here this guy is conducting these experiments on rats, on beagles, on monkeys, on adults, on minority children, on the entire world population now. And, you know, he's not the greatest mind out there. He just happens to be the guy who is in position long enough to get the greatest budget out there, apparently. That's probably not true. Probably isn't bigger than the defense budget, but it's huge. The guy commands a lot of power with the money he wields. And who knows where all of that money has gone? I mean, it didn't all go to one place. I'm almost sure of that. We're still digging to find out where more of that money has gone. But I think really the bottom line is all we got to do is find out, you know, we're so concentrated on Wuhan Lab because everybody who's sane knows that that's where this virus came from. Anybody with any kind of critical thinking potential at all knows that this virus came from the Wuhan lab. There's no question about it. Everything else doesn't make sense as much as the mainstream media would love for you to believe. No other arguments make sense. The only argument that makes sense is that it came from the Wuhan lab in China. But back to my point. So who's going to do anything about Fauci? It's not going to be us, the United States. At least it's not going to be officially somebody filing charges against Fauci here in the United States. It's going to have to be another entity outside of the United States. And then how is the United States going to respond to that? I mean, like I said, the CIA and FBI aren't going to turn him over, right? And who's going to, I mean, who's going to, they're not going to come and just take him. I was thinking to myself, I bet that guy has 24-hour security. He's got to have. I just can't imagine he has continued to live his life after kind of the light has shined on the darkness in his life. And I'm sure he just doesn't hop the train and go home to his little whatever giant castle he lives in or little house or whatever. I mean, he couldn't possibly survive, I don't think, normal day going to work and going home or going out for a meal or whatever. There's too many crazies out there, if you know what I mean. Yeah, so who else is going to do it? What did we hear? Oh, and how about the new variant? How about that? And why do we have variants? Everybody knows why we have variants. We have variants because we have the absolute crap of a jab, that it doesn't do anything that it's supposed to do, and especially doesn't prevent you from getting COVID. So COVID comes in. It may have mutated before you got it, or it's going to mutate in you before it goes out. A lot of people think that the vax actually contains the variants. I don't know if that's true or not. I think the vax is the kind of stupid interloper between, you know, COVID normal and, you know, making a COVID variation. I actually have heard some virologists say the worst possible thing we could have done was create a weak vaccine that allows the, or I guess they called it a non-sterilizing vaccine. In other words, it doesn't stop this spread of whatever it is, COVID or the regular flu or whatever. So, by not stopping it, you're basically just allowing it to go on. And who knows what the machinery is that they put in your blood with the vax that, you know, what is it doing? Is it helping, like, break apart fragments and put them back together? I mean, this whole mRNA idea is that it takes a messenger RNA, you know, and tries to block a part of it or something. But, I mean, messenger RNA kind of tells your cells to put things back together, too, unless I'm mistaken. I could be. I didn't really research that. I'm going back 40 years to college. Wait, 40? Ooh, damn near. And trying to remember what I learned there. Yeah, exactly. It's a fairy tale, all right. Nightmare. That's for sure. And so that's what else I was thinking. I was thinking, okay, so what if somebody charges Anthony Fauci with a world crime? What if they start making that a reality that, hey, we're coming to get you, and you're going to stand trial somewhere? What is stopping this guy from releasing, you know, the Kraken, so to speak? I mean, you know that this weak-ass COVID-19 isn't the only thing he's got going. You know he's got more up his sleeve. And you know it's deadly. You know whatever, you know that the, you know for a fact that China's got some stuff that's probably will wipe out a huge segment of the world population. And maybe that's what they're waiting for. You know, I've always said, you know, because I was in the service before, and people who would tell me about, you know, why can't we all live in peace? Is I was like, because that's just, it's just not possible. There's always somebody who wants what you have, no matter who you are. I mean, look at some of the third world countries that are in the world today. I mean, they don't have riches, but they might have minerals. They might have land. They have resources that somebody else wants. So they go in and, you know, take over the country and take their resources lay waste to their land because, you know, you're a third world country, you really don't have any way to fight back. And that's the way of the world, the way it is. So until, you know, humanity ceases to exist, there's always going to be somebody who wants what you have, from small scale, you know, to world scale. I mean, look what has happened in the past week with these these mob, what are they calling it? Like the mob, you know, the mobs that are going in just taking stuff. They just, you know, 50, 60, 80 people storm into really nice stores and just take stuff because they want that stuff. Yeah. They want, you know, what somebody else has. And now it's become much easier to take. We're not, you know, we're not disciplining people for doing it. And unfortunately, we kind of have gone, people have gotten so used to letting other people, like, protect them and protect their stuff. Like, everybody thinks they're just going to call a cop and a cop's going to come running. And that's just not, that's just not the case. Cops are slow. It takes them a while. You know, you have to be prepared to take care of yourself. But look at these places, like places in San Francisco. You're not going to have, you're not going to have armed guards in San Francisco or in Minnesota at these big, beautiful malls, or, you know, in Portland where they have some of these really ritzy places. Ah, they might have an armed guard there who's probably instructed not to shoot anybody. You know, he doesn't have any probably legal authority to shoot somebody and probably is afraid to shoot somebody. Maybe, I don't know. But the point is that we've depended on some other legal entity to provide that protection. You know, when I first started coming to Real Liberty Media, I didn't have any idea what anarcho-capitalism was. And I had to really go kind of do some research on it. And so when I researched it, I was like, well, what's wrong with that? It like makes perfect sense. Now, maybe I'm not really well schooled on it, but it does kind of make perfect sense to me. And it's too bad that we didn't kind of lean more on a system like that than what we have now. I see, you know, I think I told this story before about living through Hurricane Andrew. And I mean, literally, the eye of the hurricane passed right over us. And when we came out, you know, after the storm had passed and we came out and people like in the neighborhood were talking about when somebody's going to come help us. And I'm just looking at them like, huh. Nobody's coming to help us. It's going to be a long time before somebody comes to help us. And whether that long time to you is like minutes or hours or days or weeks, it's going to be a long time. Look around you. It's total devastation. Cars can't drive down this very block, much less the next one and the next one and the next one. So you better be ready to take care of yourself. And people just aren't. They just have turned over that part of their life to somebody else. And it's too bad because look at how many businesses. I don't know. I live close, luckily, far enough away from Portland. But I live in the same state, so you hear that news all the time. And, you know, those business owners that thought it was cool to be in Portland, until, you know, the local authorities were like, we're not going to prosecute people anymore for breaking your windows and taking your stuff and burning your, you know, storefronts or whatever. Welcome to Portland. Yeah, you put your faith and hope of your future in those people's arms. And you know what? It's kind of funny because Portlanders say, keep it weird, you know, keep it weird in Portland. Well, I hope it's weird enough for you in Portland. Because that's what you have now. How did I get off on that? oh, yeah. Fauci. What are they going to do about Fauci? Oh, I know where. I know what I was getting to. The Omicron variant. Have y'all seen how horrible and terrifying the Omicron variant is? Like New York, the governor of New York, I think, is it the governor of New York? Let me check my notes here real quick. God, did I even put it? Yeah, New York Governor Kathy Hochul declared a disaster emergency for the state in anticipation of the newly identified Omicron variant. I didn't think I'd be able to sleep after I heard Omicron was out. I was so terrified. So the doctors in Africa who've actually seen patients with the Omicron variant say that the symptoms are very mild. Except New York has already shut down in anticipation of the Omicron variant. How about that? And who knows, that's probably some kind of BS too. Like, you know, probably isn't. You know, if was Africa one of the countries? Didn't I hear Hal say that Africa didn't do the vaccinations, so they actually are in really good shape now? I can't really remember. I thought that's what Hal said kind of right at the end of his show. And if that's the case, you know, most of the people in Africa, yeah, I don't know. Oh, he did say that. Thanks, Rob. Yeah, so if that's the case, I mean, it makes perfect sense that this variant is coming out of people who have natural immunity. Well, natural immunity is actually going to do what it's supposed to do, like eliminate the virus, prevent it from going forward, prevent it from being passed to other people. And yeah, once in a while, just because of the nature of viruses, you're going to get something that slips by. And guess what slipped by? Something that is less viable, less fatal, less everything, because people with natural immunity have prevented that virus from spreading. Unlike all the, you know, the rest of the world populations who've taken the vaccine and just keep creating like worse variants. But we got to keep people terrified. So of course we have the Omicron variant. And I don't know if you all heard, but the World Health Organization explained why it skipped two letters in the freaking Greek alphabet, I think. Yeah, and both reasons were so stupid. They skipped mu because it sounds too much like new. Do you believe that for a second? oh my God. I got to tell you guys something. We started late, but we're going to end on time because that's what I have time for today. And but I got to tell you something crazy. Let me see. I think I covered most of the crap in my notes that I wanted to. What's this last thing? Nope. Yep. Good. Okay. Listen, this is crazy, you guys. You know, I said a few weeks ago I started using this new software because of something going on with Audacity, which I really didn't agree with because I'm really a Linux guy. By the way, there's some places in Germany, a school district, I think, who is not going to use Windows anymore. They are converting completely to Linux and OpenOffice or LibreOffice, depending on which version you get. And they are going to be Windows free. And I just think that's awesome, man. I really think that's awesome. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So last week, I know a few weeks ago, I told you I started using this new software because Audacity is, there's something up with Audacity that I didn't want to kind of participate in because it's becoming kind of commercialized, at least temporarily, because I don't think they can do that. But anyway, So the software I was using, when I get done with the show, I stop the recording, and of course I stop the server and blah, blah, blah. And then I go to the software that's doing the recording, and I export the file, right? Well, and usually I just hit the export button, and it takes minutes. So I go get a drink, I stretch my legs, and, you know, go outside, get a breath and relax. And I came back in last week, and my computer had shut completely down, like completely down. And it was only like 3 minutes I was outside. And I was like, oh my God, the whole show is gone. And so I fired everything back up, and I'm looking for the file, the exported file, and it is not where it should be. So I started QTractor, which is the program that does the recording for me, and I was like, yeah, I'm probably not going to be able to retrieve this. And I started looking around, and guess what? The recording that it's making actually, of course, gets saved straight to disk, so that even if my computer system shut down right now, it would record till I said right now on the disk, and then I can go open it up and then convert it to an MP3 file and upload it to the server. So that was amazing, because I was like a little bit shocked, because like this is a Linux system and you don't ever expect, you know, a complete shutdown. Like, I don't know if maybe the cat stepped on the power button. She's done that before. Or if there was some glitch in, or maybe the stuff I had running, you know, maybe was too much and, or something. I don't know. But this program hadn't done that to me before. But for some reason, last week, whatever happened, my whole system shut down, and I couldn't, you know, and I had to fire it back up. And then, you know, luckily, it was just saved in the default setting, the directory that I have set as the default for this particular piece of software, and the entire show was there. Like, every second of the show was there. So that was pretty awesome. Really glad. I mean, I don't know if Audacity would do that or not. It seems to me like when you, and I mean, this program does too. When you start to shut down, it says, hey, you have a file that hasn't been saved, or your current project hasn't been saved. Would you like to save it now? On Audacity, it definitely says that. And in Audacity, I'm not 100% sure if when you shut down like that, if it will keep the recording. So actually, I'm really glad I switched to QTractor and am using that now, because I know that right now, if everything quit, I know that the recording is on the hard drive. So that's kind of awesome. Hey, so let's kind of look. I'm just going to look while we're all here together. I was thinking December. Yeah, December 25th and January 1st are both on a Saturday. So let's just kind of prepare to do a show on Sunday of those 2 weeks. Just because I know, like, well, number one, my birthday is on Christmas. So we do Christmas sometimes on Christmas Eve, and then my birthday on Christmas. I really don't care one way or the other. Too old to care about celebrating birthday. Oh, I probably shouldn't have said that on the air, huh? Well, I didn't tell you what year. Oh, you all know how old I am. I guess hackers now have my birthday. Shit, no, that sucks. Anyway, so the 25th and the 1st, let's do we'll do it on the Sunday following those two holidays. And let's see, was there any other little tidbits of stuff I wanted to cover? My eyes. Yeah, I read the entire whatever show notes I read today without glasses. I'm not saying my eyesight is perfect. It is not. I can tell you that 100%. It is not. But wow, what a big difference. I have to put drops in 4 times a day, 3 different sets of drops 4 times a day. And I'm almost done with that. I think tomorrow I have my follow-up and I'll be all done. But that cataract surgery was pretty slick. I'm pretty surprised with the results. Anyway, the drops you put in, one is an antibiotic, one is a steroidal anti-inflammatory, and one is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. And, so 4 times a day, but I bet tomorrow he'll tell me to stop putting them in. Anyway, I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for being here. I love sharing time with you guys. Let's just wish Grimner the best, whatever happens with him. My main thing is you live a good life. I hope that you don't suffer in the end. You know, do what's right for you, not what's right for the rest of us. Anyway, love you guys, and I will see you next week. Thanks.